Live from Run Your Mouth World Headquarters.
First up, to showcase her devotion to women's rights, Kamala Harris begins her journey of becoming the first woman to get an abortion in every state.
There's just too many people. So this is about girls and the vacuums and letting girls use the vacuums. Vroom, vroom.
The details on Bernie Sanders' new 4-day work week.
It is time that everybody works less. 35 hours, it's a little bit too much, and most offices don't let you take naps. Many are making workers come back to work, and after years of working at home without reasonable accommodations to even masturbate in the afternoon, I'm not sure that our country's workers are ready for that. So it's time the rest of the country gets paid and works less. And as for the budget deficit of covering our social programs, we just need to trust that things can be free and the fairy dust will settle in.
Next up, why the media is now only reporting the second half of Donald Trump's sentences.
We here in the corporate press have decided that the first half of Donald Trump's sentences might give viewers the wrong context about what he's truly saying. And so, if we simply isolate the second half of his sentences, we can give viewers a better picture of Trump's true intentions.
And in an effort to win back public support, Boeing has released its newest farting plane.
We've heard from a lot of passengers that they're afraid to flatulate on a flight. So we're creating the all-new Ripper plane with absorbing seats. Throughout the flight, it actually ejects the farts like a giant beluga whale. We believe this strategy will win back fat Americans to domestic travel.
It's your daily dose of misinformation pulled from a lightly hemorrhoided asshole. It's today's Run Your Mouth.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Run Your Mouth podcast. We're here behind the green screen. I'm out in Key West. For all of you people interested in getting up into stand-up comedy, you want to figure out how you can headline, you just got to poison the actual headliner. That's how you do it. Hopefully Dave Smith, I've tried this before and he just seems to power through. He's got a stomach of steel. He's a manly man. But listen, if you're out in Miami, you're out in Florida, come party with me. I'm down in Key West. They gave me this beautiful little cottage, not all that far from the beach. So come out here, come party, laugh in the audience. Let the locals know that I'm worthwhile. This is going to be a fun weekend. I'm already enjoying myself out here. Let me tell you, I had one of the craziest mornings I've ever had. You guys will appreciate this because no matter like how smart of a person you are, sometimes you just can't defeat your own stupidity. So this morning, first is for a town that likes to drink. I don't know why there's all these roosters out here. I don't know how drunks haven't killed all the roosters by now. I don't know why I'm waking up in the morning to the sounds of roosters in a place that likes to party. But no one told me that there were military jets. And there was a military jet that went right above this little nice little cottage that I have that's somewhat close to the beach. And I jumped out of my bed and said the words, "We're being invaded." And then scrambled to grab stuff and then remembered I'm not a soldier and there's nothing I can do and we're probably not being invaded. And I can't imagine that someone's launched missiles on Key West. And then, you know, I was a little bit frazzled and flustered and I was like, all right, I guess I'm already up. I might as well go get myself some coffee. And so I grabbed my keys. I grabbed my phone. I grabbed my wallet. Now, I'm fairly OCD, but it's because I'm also a really big putz. And I can't tell you how many times I've locked myself out of a car, left an oven on, left a window open, you name it, I've done it. It's one of the things I'm really concerned about the day I have kids is leaving a kid in a hot car, because that is the most tragic thing. And it's something I could 100% see myself doing. Like I triple, quadruple, go back and check again, because I can't even believe how often I come back and check things and realize, oh, I was right. Except sometimes I wonder if it's a little bit like Memento, where you purposely leave an oven on or leave a water on or leave a door open. So that way when you come back, you check, you can validate all of your OCD. And let me tell you, sometimes just going back and checking once more, it feels good. It feels nice. So anyways, you know, I'm very careful about these things. I go phone, keys, wallet. I close the door behind me and I realized I grabbed my car keys. And then I got to hit up the owner of the comedy club. Really nice guy. Already a little disappointed that he got stuck with me and not Dave Smith. And I got locked out for 4 full hours. But anyways, we're here now. We're cooking. I did some pull-ups in the park over the beach. I might go for a swim. I'm going to drink at tonight's show. If I'm going to be honest, it's so nice. I didn't want to do this episode. I wanted to be out there perusing for some swingers. I keep seeing all these hot old ladies out here. You know what? I almost don't like warm weather environments because, for one, I like wearing sweatshirts and not having to feel my rolls of fat. Not that I'm that fat, but I'm carrying some fat. I don't want to be taking my shirt off by a pool. I'm not that kind of in shape. I'm going to throw on a sweatshirt and you're like, oh, is he kind of muscular? Till you take off the shirt and you're like, oh, it's titty city. So I both like being able to wear layers. And then I also would prefer women in burkas, so I'm not totally horny. I don't know about burkas, but I think you get what I'm saying. I like the cold weather environments so that I can wear layers and the women are in layers. And I feel like just all in all, that is a win. But anyways, dude, it's very cool. I headline all the time when I put together my own stuff and the fans come out and round in backyards. Haven't really done a full headlining weekend at a comedy club ever. But luckily, I hope Dave pulls through. And in the meantime, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to get on the Tinders. I'm going to try and find myself some swinger parties. And if you guys are out in Florida, make the drive. Make that 3-hour drive and come party with me in Key West. Or if you just happen to be out in Key West, bring your boats. Let's do some fishing. Let's have a good time. All right. Anyways, let's get into some news topics. It's going to be a shorter episode, but we do have things to get into, and I wanted to get one up. Let's start with the fact that they are taking Donald Trump's buildings. All the stories about how rich Donald Trump was, man, can't come. What kind of an asshole can't come up with $500 million on the fly? You're telling me as a billion, you can't just swing $500 million on the fly, and now you got to apply for a loan. But that's what got you in trouble the last time. No one wants to give you a loan or bond in New York City right now. They saw what happened the last time you tried getting a loan in New York City. So DT, he's in a bit of a pickle. And they're talking about the fact that they might actually seize his buildings. Now, obviously, to all of us that have been following the story, seizing Donald Trump's buildings, that's not a win. We all know that this isn't a win. But it is somewhat fun when you get to piss off billionaires, even Donald Trump. Like, obviously, what's going on here is not good, but sometimes it's just fun seeing really, really wealthy people, get really aggravated. So I'm just thinking, what would be the funniest usage of the buildings once they seize them? So it's not an endorsement of the fact that they are seizing the building, but we're coming through just to come to theorize what could be the funniest usage. And obviously, first and foremost, turning it into a migrant center would be pretty great. I mean, if New York City's out there, they're just looking to piss off Donald Trump. You turn Trump Towers. You put dirty immigrants in my beautiful building. Everything in that building was so perfect. Now you filled it. Or you just make it you get a giant version of Donald Trump's wig. You just put it on the top of it. And, it's the Nana Nana Boo Boo something, all right, here might be the best one. This might be the best one. I sat down. I had a whole plane ride to think about what might be the best usage. Here might be the absolute best. We turn it into the E. Jean Carroll Center for Making Things Up. And now I'm not saying that the lady even made this one up because, you don't want to lose everything you've ever owned in a court case from 20 years ago where she can't remember the date. And she, we're going to see in a second, got maybe a couple of details wrong, but you can't say she's making things up. But she's a writer and I bet she could be good at fiction. And I'm just saying that would be a fun way to mock Donald Trump if you turned it into the E. Jean Carroll Institute for Making Things Up, and maybe she can teach classes on how to make things up. Megaton Samurai coming through with one that I hadn't thought of. DNC headquarters. That's pretty good. You give them the top floor, which used to be the Saudi Arabia units, and you live cast like Nancy Pelosi just living up there and Paul Pelosi hosting gay orgies. That's the way to do it. I mean, if we're really going to piss them off, you put Paul Pelosi in a bubble bath. You use funds from selling other things within the building to pay for more gay hookers to visit him. And you just get to watch Nancy Pelosi as she stock trades from the penthouse of the Donald Trump Towers. Or this one's just a little bit more practical, but, maybe just outside of it, we can put up the monument for why conservatives shouldn't do business in New York City, because you might be able to lose your buildings. They might turn around and go, hey, we can't have you making money for banks. We can't have you taking out loans, doing things that everyone does where you fabricate how much your property is worth so you can get more money from a bank that's not mad at you. All right. So now here's what's somewhat fascinating to me about the developments of what took place here. Have you seen these stories of squatters, of these people? They claim homes that aren't theirs. They just move into houses that aren't theirs. Or tenants, you got a tenant and the guy just stops paying the rent. You know how long in New York City it takes to get rid of a tenant who's not paying his rent? People spend their whole lives just not paying rent. They just grift the system. They go to apartment. They get their lawyers. You ever see the stories of people in Portland not moving out of homes that aren't theirs and then getting like free legal counsel on how to stay in the homes that aren't theirs? Well, let me tell you, you know, or I've had friends that have gotten into like been hit by drunk drivers. And even car insurance seems to be a bit of a scam because it seems like the lawyers will basically just try and take whatever your insurance policy is for. But if you have a lower insurance policy, they're just like, that's all you're going to get. Or if there's no insurance, they're like, yeah, good luck taking that from you. It seems, and I'm not a lawyer, I've said that more than once, I don't really know the processes for trying to put liens on people's wages, trying to collect from individuals. But from every single person I know that's been hit by a car or had some sort of a thing where they needed to like evict a tenant, it always seems like it's a nightmare. But let me tell you, when it's the government, they've got all the resources in the world, I guess, to make sure that you're paying them interest up to the wazoo. Don't owe the government money. I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, you know what? I better double check with my accountant. Do not owe the government money. They will collect their funds. When it comes to us, you know, if you put your entire life savings into just being able to rent someone a piece of property and then they just decide they're going to freeload and not pay rent, the government will keep you from just removing someone from what you own. You can own a house. Someone can just move into it, claim that it's theirs, and you're going to have a hard time getting rid of them. But when it comes to owing the government money, you better believe it. All right, so let's give this a read. This is from The Hill. It's not the full article, but this will give you a bit of a picture of what Donald Trump is going through right now. Unless a bond is secured and thereby enforcement is stayed, the Attorney General has many tools at her disposal to collect on the judgment. For example, James could deliver an execution for Trump's assets, whether a gold toilet or an iPhone or a work of art, and the sheriff would show up and demand that it is given over for auction. When the debtor Trump inevitably fails to politely comply, the AG could obtain a turnover order, and Judge Arthur Engrogan would likely swiftly sign such an order. Enforcement begins by the attorney delivering the execution plus a $50 fee to New York City sheriff or marshal. So let's pause here for a second. This is so wonderful. Firstly, in terms of just if we're just going by the standard of what's funniest, the funniest thing to seize from Donald Trump is whatever he's currently using. He gets on his jet, you take his jet. He pulls out his phone, you're like, nope, that's my phone now. You keep taking the things from him, whatever he needs to use at any juncture of time, and you just go, that's ours, until you get to the $450 million that he owes. But it's not just $450 million that he owes, because you can seize things from him and then I guess sell it for less money, and then he still owes more on the debt. Like, let's say you seize a billion-dollar plane. I don't know if planes cost $1 billion. I assume that there must be billion-dollar private jets out there. If people got Lamborghinis, well, no, they don't have Lamborghinis that are $400 million. I'm an idiot. They got Lamborghinis that are maybe a million. I doubt there's billion-dollar planes. Are there $250 million planes? I don't know. Let's just stick with my example instead of going down on an ADD tangent of why I'm a dumbass. A billion-dollar plane. And then they sell it at auction for $1 million. I'm going to assume that you're only paid off $1 million of your debt. You could take everything from this guy. Every single time he tries to do anything, he tries to touch it. Hey, that's my wife now. That's my pen now. That's my hair now. I'm taking your wig, Donald Trump. That's not your wig. That's my wig. What, that cost you $200,000? Well, I just sold it to this homeless guy for $2. So you worked off $2. And by the way, if Donald Trump's out there and he goes, don't let them take my buildings. We all got to go into the build. Don't go. Donald Trump's on his own on this one. He played his card rallying up the troops the last time, so he is on his own. All right, it'll be curious to see how this story works out. It does kind of make Donald Trump look bad here that he can't easily come up with the $500 million for all the talk of how wealthy he was. Obviously, they're doing him dirty, but I'm excited to see how this plays out. All right, before we do our next topic, sheathunderwear.com. My God, am I lucky to be out in Key West with my Sheath underwears? Because if not, it would be Chafe City. Let me tell you, we're coming back around to the summer months, and you don't want to be out there when it's hot, sweaty ball weather, and you've got things flapping around in the wind with your legs. If you've been eating too much cake and you've got friction between your legs, you don't want to feel that. You don't want that chafing. You want the smooth, silky fabric of sheathunderwear.com. Everything cool, calm, collected, and separated. You go to sheathunderwear.com, use promo card RYM. You're going to get 20% off the greatest underwear that's ever graced the balls of man. I swear by Sheath Underwear. Bobby Bain comes on the show. You know he's passionate about the underwear. Go give it a try if you haven't, or if you already own it, load up on some pairs, use that promo code, let them know that I sent you. Bobby the Bank's been a loyal sponsor of the show, and I love my sheaths. All right, let's take a couple comments. Let's start with Reagan Foster letting me know, excellent. Thank you, sir. Megatron Samurai. They are really going all in because there's no way he doesn't win when they use tactics like this. I'm curious to know if he becomes president, if he's allowed to just reclaim his buildings or what he can do to get them back. It's just such a, you know, I get excited for the stories that are just freak show stories. And so obviously this is bad. This is bad for, you know, if you like the idea of our democracy, this can't be a win. Clearly they're playing every dirty trick that they can. It's strange to see which cases have fallen apart and which ones are really poking in at his side. And this one looks like they've done Donald Trump dirty. I mean, the guy might lose his buildings, the pride and joy, what he worked so hard and ripped off so many contractors for, the well-earned buildings. It can't be good for New York. It's got to scare people into doing business in the state. I mean, people with strong political opinions, I would think. It can't be a win, but it will be interesting to see how it plays out and to watch Donald Trump just really crying about it. All right, last one. C. Parks Affluent. Rob has superpowers. He lives in Chicago, and he's live streaming on his show, Superhuman. Oh, I'm live. Oh, because I guess the part of the problem live right now. I really should coordinate not going live at the exact same time as part of the problem, but I'm true live and actually taking your comments, so you guys can watch that one afterwards. All right, next topic. What do we got? Going to be a shorter show, but we got some fun stuff coming at you. All right. I was talking about, you know, part of why I'm a libertarian is that when I was back in high school and I was smoking the marijuana, having a good old time, I realized government wasn't my friend and that they wanted to treat me like a criminal for finding the love of my life. You know that feeling when you just find the love of your life and someone's going to get in the way of you and your love in your life and you just realize that person's not your friend? So anyways, I am curious to see as the TikTok thing plays out, if you get discontented people who switch over to being libertarians. It's possible. I also kind of like the idea, same as with the Donald Trump thing, of just going based off what's funny, of homeless TikTokers out there sitting in bars going, I used to be somebody, just sadly sitting a bar going, I was the Tide Pod eating champion of the world. Or you just get all these TikTokers showing outside of Congress doing their own individual little lined up dance just because they're going to usher in the spirits of TikTok. And because that was what they're trained to do. Everyone's got their art form of what they're trained for. You get a lot of these people and they're trained for the singing and dancing. You know how much that sucks to have been a person who actually invested their time into TikTok? You've built up a following and they might just strip it from you. Or, you know, it'd be great if some conservatives bought the platform and just changed the algorithm. So now all of a sudden, all this gay shit like dancing and wanting to become trans faded away. And even that, I feel bad for the people. You know, they work so hard. You get Dylan Mulvaney was out there documenting every day of going towards being a girl. And then you just change the algorithm and you realize, oh, no one even cared about this. And you're like, I became a lady for nothing. I just documented this entire process. I can't go back to being a dude now. I wasn't even much of a dude when I was a dude. So anyways, I saw this in the Wall Street Journal. I cropped it a couple days ago, so I don't even know what I'm going to be reading here. But let's give it a read. Cal Gadel was a college senior when the pandemic abruptly upended her life plans and made her part of a big and deeply unhappy political force that figures to play a huge role in the 2024 election season. Yeah, this is an interesting brewing storyline that I guess a traditionally stronger Democratic voting bloc of your young college kids or your recent graduates, a lot of them aren't too happy with the government right now. A lot of them their college experience or their first working experiences were ruined by all of the COVID shenanigans, that I think some of these young people are turning back around and going, I don't think that was worth the sacrifice. Or I don't think you guys really had a plan here. I don't think I really needed to be vaccinated. They got a lot of crazy thoughts going on in their head, and they're actually confronting the consequences of some of those government policies and realizing, you know, maybe they don't like the government all that much. But at least they had TikTok. At least they could watch endless streams of dumb videos or produce endless dumb videos. Let's continue reading the article. Her graduation was postponed. She was let go from her college job and her summer internship got canceled. She spent the final months of school taking online classes from her parents' house. You would think there's a plan B or a safety net, she said, but there's actually not. Today, Gaddy, 25, works as an office manager in Atlanta, earning less than $35,000 a year. In her spare time, she uploads videos to TikTok, where she's amassed thousands of followers. Now that's at risk of being taken away too. All this has left her dejected and increasingly skeptical of politicians. Yeah, isn't it annoying when politicians ruin your stuff? You know, you're out there every day trying to crank out content. You think it's great. People seem to like it. And then suddenly you're shadow banned, or suddenly you're picking up momentum on the platform on something that you're getting very, very right, and you're getting strikes against you. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying this as, oh, eat some shit too, you fucking liberals. And I'm just assuming that this lady's a liberal. I'm just saying that this is an educational opportunity where I feel bad for these people because I've lived it. I've had to get out there and play for people's porches. That's what I've had to do. You're going to have to get crafty, TikTok people. Underground black market for TikTok. Everyone's running with those VPN networks just so you could repost something. I'm just saying it's interesting that the government might actually disenfranchise a core group of voters by stripping something from them that they enjoyed. Let's continue. Young adults in Generation Z, those born in 1997 or after, have emerged from the pandemic feeling more disillusioned than any living generation before them, according to long-running surveys. All right, well, that's them just being whiny. I graduated during the great financial recession. People have fought in wars. They're being a little bit whiny. But let's continue. In interviews with dozens of young people around the country, they worry they'll never make enough money to attain the security previous generations have achieved, citing their delayed launch into adulthood, an impenetrable housing market, and loads of student debt. All accurate problems. All right. Before we move into our next topic, YoKratom.com, home of the $6 kilo. My friends, if you are a fan of Kratom products, you cannot find better pricing anywhere than YoKratom.com. And listen, if you like making the teas, you can get yourself the big old bags of powder. Personally, I like the little pills, and I put them into my travel container. I put them in the Thursday. If you ever find my pill container and you want to take random Kratom pills, it's the Thursday. That's the way it's labeled. And I personally, I like the greens during the day and sometimes the reds in the evening. But, you know, go there and experiment. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, next up, this is from Mish Talk. Green wave in reverse. Biden rolls back EV mandates, but not enough. This is one of those stories that we love to cover here of how many times people are sitting down, they're trying to make business decisions, and then new government policy comes around that entirely ruins their plans. So, for example, you think government's going to force you to switch to all electric vehicles. And so you make switches to plants that are less profitable. You train people in processes that are different than the actual cars. You don't invest in the research and development of gas engines. And then all of a sudden government realizes, oh, they can't enforce all these mandates. And so you actually have more time. And I'm just saying, how do you even do the calculation of how much gets lost in the process of thinking you have to do something or you're going to be in trouble with government, and then realizing, oh, we can change course? Just think about how much economic growth gets lost every single year as people are just trying to make decisions about what will government let me do, as opposed to what would be the best products and services for my customers, as opposed to sitting around and thinking, how do I create more value? How do I create a better experience? How do I make a better product? How do I get this to market? Instead of sitting down and having all those meetings, instead, everyone's just sitting around trying to figure out government instead. And just think about how much wasted brain power and just how much time is wasted when you spend an entire year drumming up specific plans, thinking that there's a regulation that's coming and it just doesn't come. Now, what was fascinating about this article is that they're talking about in California, there's already massive increases in everybody's electricity bills. And you guys can go check out the article. It's kind of technical, but it also talks about what is that going to look like if California actually goes to 100% electric vehicles? What's going to actually happen to everyone's electric bills? And then what's going to be the plan when poor people can't run their air conditioners in the summer? Or what are you going to do when people's refrigerators cost four times more to run? What is the plan? If people are already pissed off about 13% increases in their electric bill, what's going to happen when suddenly all cars are mandated to be electric and you haven't updated the electricity grid to be ready for that? Now, the other part that makes this interesting is that they were pitching that it's actually becomes cheaper, I guess, on a weekly basis to fill your tank, because you don't actually have to fill your tank. I'm saying like the amount that you're spending per charge to get a certain amount of miles. And on some cars, the math on that has already changed because general electricity prices are up. Well, what's that going to look like when everyone's forced to be in an electric vehicle? And so what this points to is exactly what we experienced with COVID, where we were sitting around and we're like, wait, everyone's just not going to work and that's going to be better? Or what about everyone that's miserable because they're not working? What about suicide rates? What about alcoholism? What about kids not being in school? What about the entire way the natural immunity thing works? And if everyone just goes out there and they get sick, then we can move on with it. And wait, why do you tell me that this new vaccine is actually better? Remember all those little thoughts that we were having when you were just looking at the government policy and they're like, well, you can't ask those questions. That's socialism across the board. And it's the same thing with the electric vehicles and them just going, we need everyone to be on board on the moving to electric. Well, can the grid even handle that? What will the cost look like if they don't ask those questions. We just need everybody on board. And it's funny because we're only in, I guess, the first couple of years of them trying to make these changes, and it's already falling apart on them. All right, next topic. What do we got? Let's take a couple of comments. Urjo, I'm on Kratom right now. There you go. That guy has rules. What are you taking? Junior, Tide Pods eating was a good era. And then Mr. B himself, LOL. All right, next topic. What do we got next, producer man? We've got a video. And before I play the video, I'm just going to give you guys some of my commentary up front, and then we can give this a watch. First is, I cannot stand when the original video can't be found. When you go to YouTube and the only thing you can find is everybody else commenting on a video. So here you have a Republican senator whose name, maybe even Congress lady, I don't remember her name off the top of my head. And she's on George Papadopoulos's show. And remember how I was saying that the Jean Carroll court case is fascinating because it gives the Democrats an opportunity to go, we won't debate Donald Trump. That guy is a known rapist in New York. And then they can to go, there's five court cases going on right now with the criminal Donald Trump, a person who is so horrible that New York had to seize his buildings. Never before has New York City had to seize buildings after a $500 million judgment showcasing just how rotten of a business person Donald Trump is. Do you guys remember any other time that the attorney general got involved and had to seize buildings because of fraudulent business behavior? And not only has Donald Trump engaged in fraudulent business behavior, he's actually not even as good of a businessman as we thought, as he couldn't even come up with $500 million. What kind of a person can't come up with $500 million on the fly who's actually great at business, even if we've ruined all of his partnerships and made people nervous about making loans to him? And furthermore, he's also a known rapist. Remember I was saying that this gives him the opportunity to just keep saying it, and then he can't go, hey, that's not true, I'm not a rapist, because every time he does that, he can get hit with another defamation suit. So off the bat, this video is interesting because they are asking this lady, why is it that she will that she's willing to support someone who's a known rapist? Now, here's the next part of this that just goes into goofy land. One, she starts saying, hey, you're shaming me because I was raped, which I think is typically more liberal behavior and doesn't actually get to the core of the conversation of whether or not Donald Trump is a rapist or if the New York City court system is corrupt. And I don't fully understand why asking these questions would shame a person. But I do understand that, you know, sometimes in polite company, if someone tells you, hey, I confronted that tragedy in my life and I don't feel comfortable talking about this, sometimes just to be polite, you have to go, all right, you know, you and I, we don't have the same opinion here. And I think I'm asking an interesting question. But if you're telling me that it makes you feel uncomfortable, I'm willing to drop it because I don't want to hurt your feelings. And sometimes there's some topics that are so terrible. And the other person, it's another thing if the other person introduced the topic. They go, hey, I want to talk about death. And you go, well, these people actually weren't involved in murder. And you're like, you can't talk about this. My child was there. It's like, well, you started the conversation, right? But if I ask you a question, you go, hey, listen, I just had a personal tragedy. I don't feel comfortable talking about this. I mean, maybe as a politician, you're like, yeah, this is part of the job, though, so you can't walk away from it. But anyways, remember, believe all women and the way the liberals like to treat this. It's fascinating to see George Papalopoulos, who is willing to just sit in the pocket. Usually they don't even like to ask questions a second time. They don't like to grill people. In this case, even though he's got a lady who's playing the lady liberal card of, hey, I was raped and you can't talk to me about this because I feel like you're shaming my experience, he actually sits in the pocket as an adult and says, I think that this is an important topic because I'm trying to spin bullshit that Donald Trump's actually a rapist. So I don't agree that this is shaming you. Would you explain to me why this is shaming you? And why is it that you're supporting a rapist? So he's more than comfortable pushing back when a lady's like, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this. It's not just a instant, hey, believe all women. Hey, she said that this is uncomfortable for her, so you have to stop. So with all that commentary up front, let's give this a watch. I could not find the entire thing. Which is why I wanted to give some of the commentary up front, because I'd seen longer versions of this with other shows, but with people cutting in. If someone does find the full video, can send it my way. Maybe we'll play it on a future video. But in the meantime, let's give this a watch.
I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about
Donald Trump. No, you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court.
Which, by the way, I am going to pause it there and go, if that's the case, then why is New York City just letting the rapist be out on the loose? And how many more other rapists are out there that just because this guy was famous and a lady made a claim on a news show that then led to a defamation trial led to the justice of finding out that this guy's a rapist? I mean, aren't you concerned with the justice system in New York City, that this is the only way that we're actually making discoveries of people being rapists and that there's violent rapists that are out there? But let's continue, because off the bat, you know, he's willing to say that this is factually 100% true, that Donald Trump is known to New York as being a rapist.
Case number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim. And I find it disgusting. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
They are judged and they're shamed. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm
think it's disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all. I
told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
And I answered it. You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why.
You see, to me, it's a little bit annoying that she won't just address the more core claim, which is whether or not Donald Trump is a rapist. Or I guess no one's allowed to say, hey, I think that Jean Carroll lady is a liar. But let's continue.
You endorse someone who's been found liable for rape?
Just it was not a criminal court, but to sit here and ask me as a rape victim to try to shame me for my political choices is wrong. And I think it's offensive.
You can repeat that again and again.
And I'm going to because I find it deeply offensive.
See, what you're doing is defending a man who's been found liable for rape. I don't understand how you can do that.
Not in a criminal court of law. This was a civil judgment over sexual abuse, not rape, by the way, and she made a mockery out of it.
Can we pull up the Washington Post headline right there? In fact, it has been shown to be rape. The judge affirmed that it was...
Okay, so this is incredible. George Papalakadapadus, the basis of why he's saying that it's rape, or at least what he's quoting as proof of it, is that there's an article in the Washington Post headline, judge clarifies, yes, Trump was found to have raped E. Jean Carroll. Now, I think it's important for us to actually read this article, because here you have a guy on the news letting you know that a person running for president is a convicted rapist or found to be guilty of rape within New York. And hey, here's the proof. Look, there's a headline right here that he was in fact found to be guilty of having conducted rape. So why not actually read that article? And we're going to read the whole article.
I'm not going to do that.
So you don't think that maybe I'm putting a spin on it. Despite Carroll's claim that Trump had raped her, they noted the jury stopped short of saying he committed that particular offense. Instead, jurors opted for a second option, sexual abuse. Oh, that's interesting. So even in the not criminal court, they did not say that he was a rapist. They said that he engaged in sexual abuse, which then you have to wonder, oh, was Jean Carroll found then to be a liar? Because she said that he raped her. He didn't say that that there was sexual abuse. So, all right, this is already getting interesting. Let's continue. This was a rape claim. This was a rape case all along, and the jury rejected that, made other findings, his lawyer Joe Tocopino said outside the courthouse. A judge has now clarified that this is basically a legal distinction without a real-world difference. He says that when the jury found Trump did was, in fact, rape, as commonly understood. The filing from Judge Louis A. Kaplan came as Trump attorney have sought a new trial and have argued that the jury's $5 million verdict against Trump in civil suit was excessive. The reason they argue is that sexual abuse could be as limited as the groping of a victim's breast. Let's continue. This was a rape claim. This was a rape case all along, and the jury rejected that, made other findings. I think I might be rereading here. A judge has now clarified that this is basically a legal distinction without a real-world difference. He says, I'm sorry, I already read that. Let's hopefully the next is the continuation. The finding that Ms. Carroll failed to prove that she was raped within the meaning of the New York penal law does not mean that she failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her. I want to reread that. The finding that Ms. Carroll failed to prove that she was raped within the meaning of the New York penal law. So in other words, by the definition of the New York penal law, she wasn't actually raped. What does that mean? But so then he continues, does not mean that she failed to prove that Mr. Trump raped her, as people commonly understood the word rape. Now, usually if you're a judge, you would go based off of, hey, we have the law of what's considered to be rape. And so if anything other than, I guess, sexual intercourse is not considered to be rape, well, then that's the law defined what rape is. But then the judge goes, all right, listen, I know that we legally said what is considered to be rape, but Jean Carroll didn't lie because most people don't actually consider the legal definition. That's the whole point of going to court. You know how often people are using words, hear that or whatever, and then you go, well, here's the way that it's actually defined. But in this case, I guess he redefined rape to be not what's supposed to be the New York Penal Code. Stuff gets a little bit tricky. And you know why it gets tricky? Because they don't want to give you straight information. It's very intentful to keep it all loosey-goosey so that it's open for interpretation. Let's continue. That's how you know bullshit, when someone can't just give you easy, clean information. He added, indeed, as the evidence at trial recounted below makes clear, the jury found that Mr. Trump, in fact, did exactly that. What is it that he did exactly? What would be the common definition, or what you're saying people perceive to be rape, or what the New York Penal Code is actually rape? You see, they're just purposely making it not clear. Kaplan said New York's legal definition of rape is far narrower than the word is understood in common modern parlance. So in other words, you did not go with the New York Penal Code definition of rape. You decided to go with what you view as modern parlance. And now as to how that's defined or who gets to define that, let's continue. The former requires forceful, unconsented to penetration with one's penis. But he said that the conduct the jury effectively found Trump liable for forced digital penetration, I don't know what digital penetration is, meets a more common definition of rape. Yeah, because when you think of rape, you think of forced digital penetration. When someone tells you I was raped, you're like, oh, you were forcibly digitally penetrated? Sure, that's what we all think. He cited definitions offered by the American Psychological Association, the Justice Department, which in 2012 expanded the definition of rape to include penetration with any body part or object. Where in this case, I think it was found that Donald Trump fingered her. All right. You know, I don't want to read the rest of this, but you guys can go read it and then you can see how I was fictionalizing it. But I'm just trying to say that when Papalopagopoulos goes, hey, there was a civil court and look at this headline, which says it was clearly rape. He's ignoring the rest of the article where the judge has to kind of run in circles to go why he didn't go with the actual penal New York City penal law of what rape is. All right, let's take a couple comments here. Chat is very active, which I enjoy. You know, just spend all day on YouTube and Twitter so that you can see when I randomly go live. All right. Reagan Foster. LOL, I just bought a new car a month ago so they can try all they want to sell me something. C Parks Affluent. Oh shit, I gotta plug in. Everyone just I might even have to move over there. All right, listen, we're changing settings, everybody. We're gonna change settings. We're gonna walk with all the equipment. Hold on. I should have forecasted for this. But now it's like you get two shows within one show. And like, listen, it's like a Cribs episode where you guys get to see all the glamour of Key West gigging on the road. And since Dave isn't here, the whole condo is mine. This is like spooky story hour now. Hold on. All right, here we go. We got a couple more topics to cover. Oh, it's funny. I just moved this and then I didn't even plug in. This seat change is brought to you by PhoenixAmmo.com. If you guys want to buy yourself some high quality ammunition from a sponsor that won't even sell to the government, wants to make sure that you're prepared, but doesn't want to be any part of foreign wars or any of that other nonsense, get yourself a nice big bag of quality bullets from PhoenixAmmo.com, the official bullet sponsor of the Run Your Mouth podcast. Okay, I think I had one more topic left. Yes, this is a video from Kennedy. He always does a great job at these senatorial hearings and stuff. And you know what I discovered? Usually sometimes you see some incredibly hot chick and she just eats crow because she's an idiot. And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. That pretty person just got it. There's something in my miserable takeaway Christmas heart that like when I see terrible things happening to pretty people, I just feel like they deserved it because they're pretty. Like you see like some pretty chick come to New York City when it's the winter and you get all the slush on the corners and they put their nice shoe in it. I'm like, haha, you deserve that. And what I discovered is when that happens, like hot dudes, it's pretty great too. And so in this case, you get some professional skier and he's upset about global warming because he's like, my powder's not as fresh. I'm not a scientist, but I can tell you that this past ski season, because every ski season is exactly the same, the powder was a little bit less powdery. And that's why I'm here in front of government. No, they needed some pretty looking Olympian to go out there and try and preach their cause. And he gets smashed really quick. Because Kennedy's like, listen, we're trying to make some really big decisions here, and you're actually giving testimony in government. Do you know anything about this? And he has to be like, nah, man, I actually don't. I was just here because the powder isn't as powdery, and I'm trying to ski some trees, and I want the good powder. I don't want the mediocre powder. This is a worthwhile watch because you get to see how I bet we could even take the government scientists and they would fold under this questioning. And if you ever need to be persuasive, Kennedy's got some good tricks with just the how questions, or can you define that? Can you tell me what the alternative would be? Just really simple questions where when people do know absolutely nothing about what they're talking about, they fold pretty quickly. Let's give it a watch and that will be our episode. Here we go.
Senator Kennedy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Vice Chairman. Mr. Schumacher, welcome. You were, who invited you here today?
I came with Protect Our Winters.
Right. But you're here on behalf of the Democrats or the Republicans?
I'm here on behalf of the outdoor enthusiasts around America.
Okay. You were contacted.
I'm here for the trees.
Contacted by Senator Whitehouse's staff.
I personally came with Protect Our Winters, so I don't know how that went exactly.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Yo, bro, I just like ski a bunch. I don't know about all that stuff.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but.
Well, you want us to abolish it, right?
No, there's always going to be carbon dioxide.
Right. So what is it you want us to do?
Let me
back up because I mean, you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and the landscape that I live in Alaska. And so carbon dioxide is
changes in your winters. What are you, 18 or what is this kid? 22. So let's just say since 18, he's been observing it. I ski 2 days a year, every single season. And let me tell you something. It's different every single year. There's no pattern to it. If I'm trying to ski in the Northeast, I mean, if anything, I've started to notice ski later because there seems to be more snow later. I don't know why that is. It used to be December was a better month. I guess I've noticed that one singular pattern. But believe me, there's plenty of mountains with snow and there's different snowfall every single season. What exactly was your documentation process that you're like, yeah, there's like a little bit less powder this year? All right, let's continue. I don't need to be even asked these questions. Kennedy's got it.
What I see it as is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what?
Is it the major part of our atmosphere?
It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you said we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is. You want us to abolish fossil fuels?
I never said that.
You never have said that?
No.
Okay. What do you think we ought to do with fossil fuels?
What will we do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. Should we make any changes?
I would like to see a decrease in the use of fossil fuels. I think there's a possibility to use more electric generation.
Okay. Over what period of time? 10 years, 50 years, 100 years?
That's not... I would like to see it come as fast as possible while continuing.
How fast?
Sorry?
How fast?
I don't have a good answer for that. No.
Okay. You just think, well,
let me tell you, this was me the couple times I actually went on a real finance interview and they're like, hey, can you do this math riddle? I'm like, no, but this is absolutely just getting caught with your pants down. I can't even believe this kid showed up for this.
How much will it cost for us to, become carbon neutral in the United States by 2050?
I'm not a professional on that. I don't have an answer.
You don't have any idea?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money?
I'm not an economist.
Yeah, but it's going to cost money. You realize that.
Yeah, but we've also talked about the trade-off of what the cost of climate change as emergencies will cost in the future also.
Oh, this one he magically has an understanding of, that because of emergencies, we probably need to quit using fossil fuels now. Suddenly he's back in the game. Now he's got a comprehensive understanding of this.
So, right. But it's going to cost trillions of dollars to become carbon neutral by 2050, right?
I do not know.
You don't know. You just think we ought to do it.
I don't have a great answer for you, but I think okay. I would.
If we spent those.
By the way, you know, I've had this where you're doing comedy for a long time and you see people getting opportunities and you're like, how did this person get this opportunity? And then they fumble it. How many people are actually qualified to talk about, like, they're in labs right now working on climate change and maybe they're even leftists, and then they have to watch this the next day and go, who put the hot dude up? Who gave this guy this moment? All right, that is our episode. Let's take a couple comments. Let's start with Amanda Hug and Kiss. Is it really run your mouth if there's no pacing? I don't prefer it. If you guys had seen the camera under the table, I was fidgeting my legs the entire time. Reagan Foster, by my calculation, the PO dozen hasn't been quite gnar in recent years. All right, let's take a couple more. Runaway Slav, bro, I would agree in geology. I'm more qualified than 99% of climate advocates. Global warming is BS. Climate change is a natural process. Survive and adapt, bro. Al Gore said that Florida would be underwater by 2020. All right, that is our episode. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm sitting on some emails for Porch Tour stuff, which I have to actually start responding to. But if you haven't yet, submit your porch. robnewsroom@gmail.com. Put Summer Porch Tour into the headline. Show me a picture of your backyard. Tell me if there's any weather concerns I should know about. And I'm going to start lining those things up. I saw one other comment asking, when are you going to be on the Drinking Bros podcast? I was on the Drinking Bros podcast. It was a great time. And next time I'm down in Austin, I would certainly do it again. I wonder if the best way... All right, I'm not in the mood for an RFK question. That is our episode. Thanks for hanging out. I'm out in Key West all weekend working at the Comedy Club. Come hang out if you're in the area. Porch Tour dates coming soon. Next episode, probably next week, Wednesday, when I'm back in the studio and I can pace around like a maniac. All right, let's go find them swingers. Have a good one, everybody.